I hope that you were listening to the songs that we've sung this morning and the choir sung, because really they fit well with what I feel led of the Lord to share. And I pray that they'll strengthen what we say. You know, very regularly, pastors stand in the pulpit and admonish and exhort and encourage the folks to get out and share Jesus. Share Him with unbelievers, non-believers. Share Him with believers. Share Him with family. Share Him with friends. Share Him with others. But get out there and share Jesus. And just as regularly as pastors do that, most of the folks don't share Jesus. You know, so many of the time we don't. You know, I wouldn't ask you to raise your hand, but if I said, would you raise your hand if last week you shared Jesus with one lost person, how many of us could raise our hand? If I ask how many of us talked about Jesus with somebody that was a Christian, how many of us would raise their hand? And you know, there have been some weeks that I'd have to stick my hand in my pocket. I'm not belittling you. I'm saying, you know, that's a common occurrence. We know we ought to, but we have a problem. Now, what's the first problem? Fear. We're afraid somebody's going to slam a door in our face. Somebody's going to get angry with us. Or more likely that we're going to mess up. I'm just not going to say it right. I'm just not going to explain it enough. And then I'm going to get them even more confused about what it means to be a Christian or about some special thought. And we're afraid we're going to mess up. And you know, even as a pastor, sometimes you walk down from the pulpit and walk out the door and you think, something wasn't right. I didn't get that clear enough. I should have used another scripture. I should have used another illustration. I just didn't get it clear so that the people could hear. Fear stops us. Another thing that stops us is that sometimes we forget how people really get saved. We forget what really changes their lives. We think it all depends upon us. And it doesn't. Let's read some scriptures and then I want to talk about them. First scripture is in the first chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 1, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And as we read these verses, see if some things pop out at you. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He says, the gospel is the power of God to those who believe, Jews and Greeks. Now turn with me over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll start reading at verse 17. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written,
I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and things which were despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as according is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of the wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words and of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, in this long passage that we just read, Paul talks about two groups of people that have a hard time becoming believers in Jesus. And one group, represented by the Jews mostly, they look at the cross and shake their heads and say, that's ridiculous. You know what the Jews were looking for? They were looking for a mighty ruler on white horse to come in with their sword and drive the Romans into the sea and set up a new kingdom like David and Solomon had. They had an expression, cursed is anybody that hangs on a tree. And so to point them to a dying Savior on a cross just didn't make sense to them. And even today, when you talk to folks about their need to be saved, there are people that say, if there even was a Jesus, what does his dying on a cross 2,000 years ago have to do with me being saved and going to heaven? I don't get it. They don't understand. Their minds are befuddled by the devil when they look at the cross and see there the claim, this is the Savior of the world and he's dying for you. The other group of people that Paul says have a hard time being saved and becoming believers in Jesus, he represents the Greeks. And they were into wisdom. They were into figuring it all out. Philosophy. And you know, how many people today are that way? Now it can, in our day today, it can come in several different patterns. But let's see if some of these you recognize. There's a group that they've got it figured out. We're all animals. We're just more highly evolved. You know, we all came from monkeys. Some of us still act like it, you know, I guess.
And I love archaeology. I did a summer in Israel in archaeology. I love it. But it always amuses me and befuddles me at the same time. Somebody digging over in Africa, they'll find a, you know, this much of a jawbone, about as big as my fingers. And 50 feet away, they'll find a tooth. And they say they're bound to go together. I mean, after all, they were in the same acre. And so then somebody will draw what looks like a half monkey, and they'll say, that's your great-great-grandpa from 4 million years ago. Are you kidding me? But they've got it all figured out. And they say, you know, there's no heaven, no hell, no devil, no Savior, no eternity. You live, you die, and that's the end. They've got it all figured out. There's another group that's got it all figured out, that there is a heaven. And all religions are going to get you there. It doesn't matter whether you're a Satan worshiper or a Buddhist or a Confucius or a Muslim or a Baptist or a Pentecostal. We're all going to heaven. One road's just as good as another. And they don't care. I choose to go to heaven this way, and you choose to go to heaven your way, and we're all going to get there. Another group believes in, you call universalists, everybody's going to heaven. No matter how good, how bad, we're all going to heaven. And then there's another group that's got it figured out. God grades on a curve. You know how it was when you're in school, you'd love to have a teacher that graded on a curve. I remember a math class I took in college. I got 85 right on the final exam. It sounds good, doesn't you? Only trouble was there's 200 and some questions on the exam. Which means I got about 40% of the questions right. And I got a B. Which means a lot of the kids in the class must not have got but 20 or 30 out of the 200 and some questions right. And you know, there's a lot of folks that think God's going to grade on a curve like that. I mean, they know they're not as good as Billy Graham. But then they're not as bad as Hitler and Mussolini and Stalin and Saddam Hussein and all of those really nasty people. And they think, well, you know, those really, really nasty people are going to pull the grade at point average way down and they're going to go to hell, but I'm pretty good folks. So I'm bound to make at least a C and get into heaven on my C. Even as a D minus, I'm still making it. The Bible doesn't say anything about God grading on a curve. The Bible talks about we come to the Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. But you see, all types of different wisdom of men have got it all figured out about heaven and eternity. And when you try to sit down and talk with them, if their mind is really made up, you heard the old expression, my mind's made up, don't confuse me with the facts. Some of you older ones will remember Wiley Rutledge. Now, he was our pastor at West Albemarle. He was the youngest pastor they ever called and the oldest pastor they ever called. He came in whenever we were in just getting started. He ordained me. He did our wedding. And he was there a while, then went to Tennessee. And after years, he came back and they called him his pastor. And they said when he was there the last time, he wrote most of his sermons on a napkin at the breakfast nook. Every morning, he'd go to the breakfast nook and talk to people and he'd get sermon ideas. I used to think that was dumb. But you know, I like to go to that McDonald's on 52 North up once or twice a week and have a biscuit. And it's one of the reasons I go is this, usually whether I go at 7 in the morning, 7:30, 9, 9:30, almost always somebody from Prospect comes in or somebody that I know comes in and I can talk to them. It's amazing how many good spiritual discussions I've had right up there with folks. And you know, one day this week I sat there with a couple that I knew, and basically I preached them my sermon from last week. And the wife kept saying, "I didn't know that. Wow, I didn't know that. I never heard that." And it was just a great time of sharing. But then another day I'm sitting there, and there's a lady from Prospect sitting not at my table but the next table, and her husband just fell and broke a hip, and we're sort of talking across two tables. This other guy comes over and he says, "You ought to know me and I ought to know you." And he told me, named him anything, but then when he told me who his father-in-law was, okay, he just sits down. I didn't invite him to sit down. He just sat down. And we got to talking. Now, he was really intense. The more excited he got, the farther across that table he was leaning until he was almost in my face over and over again. It's interesting. Certain things that he and I were discussed, I agreed with him 100%. Some other things he brought up, I thought he's way off in left field. And I'd start quoting scripture and say, "Oh, I don't mean that." I'd start quoting another scripture. "Well, that scripture don't mean that either." I quote another one. "Well, you know, in a court of law, if it says this, then that's what it means. It says, I'm going to sell you this car for $25,000. I can't sell it to you for $29,000. I've sold it to you for $25,000. That's the way it is. And the same way in the Bible. If it says certain things, that's the way it is. And the longer we talked, the more intense he got. And I sure was glad I got a long-distance phone call. And I told the person, I said, "Let me call you back in 5 minutes. Well, after about 15, I told the man, I said, "I got to return that phone call. I got to go." Because it was obvious he had his mind made up on certain things. I couldn't change it. And it's frustrating to try to share your faith and somebody's not listening to what the Bible clearly says. But at the same time, it's an opportunity. And you never know when that person sitting across from you is hungry to hear the word of God or not hungry to hear the word of God. So look for opportunities to share your faith. But realize some people have got it all figured out. And I left a little frustrated, but that's between him and the Lord. And the one thing that really got me is he never would tell me where he went to church. He said he had been this and this and this, and he named all three different denominations, and then I got the impression he didn't go to church anywhere because he's got it all figured out. Well, Paul says those folks that look at the cross and think it's unrealistic, are hard to be saved. And those folks who think they've got life all figured out have a hard time coming to salvation. But notice some things. Paul, and we think the great apostle Paul, did you catch those things that were there in verse chapter 2? "I was with you in weakness, fear, much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom." Hey, Paul's shaking his boots just like you do and I do. We think of the great apostle Paul, and yet he realized the truth that I want to get across to you this morning. The power is not us. The power is in the cross. The power is not in us. The power is in the cross. Did you... those scriptures that I looked at a moment ago, the Romans 1, The gospel is the power of God to salvation. In 1 Corinthians 17, verse 18, it's the power of God. Verse 24, it's the power and wisdom of God. Paul, in chapter 2, verse 5, it would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul says, listen, it's not our eloquence. It's not our standing. And notice he talks about not many mighty, not many noble, not many, you know. Paul said, God called just normal people. And the power is of God. He said, if we by our eloquence could talk people into being saved, then somebody more eloquent than we could talk them into not being saved. And if we could talk them into being saved by our eloquence, then they would become our followers. But when they look at the cross, and you think about the cross for a few moments, the choir just saying, I've been to Calvary. I've seen the Lord. We have a sin problem. The world has a sin problem. And God is righteous and justice and holy. And God cannot just sweep sin under the rug and pretend it doesn't matter. Sin had to be dealt with. Something had to be a sacrifice for sin. And all of the animals that they ever killed could not do anything but just sort of postpone the final payment. But when you look at the cross, you see God's righteousness and justice meeting with God's mercy and grace and love. When you look at the cross and you see God so loved you and God so loved me that he sent his son to die on that cross, to take care of our sin, to deliver us from sin, to wash away our sin, to separate us from our sin. And out of great love, God, through the Holy Spirit, brings us into relationship. Then it's through the cross that we're saved. It's the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, sometimes we want to make church like a civic club or a social club. You know, if you join the Lions, the Civitan, or one of those other groups, and each group has its own way to join, and it's got their own rules and their own ways of doing things, and if you join their club, then that's the way it is. And sometimes folks want to make church that way. You come in and you join by being baptized, and we've got our rules and our regulations, and just be a good Baptist or whatever. But a real, real church made up of real, real Christians is full of people who've looked at a cross, looked at a dying Savior, and have fallen on their faces before him and said, he loved me. He did it for me. Thank you. I receive that. I don't reject that. I don't try to figure it out. I don't look for any other way into heaven. I don't look for any other way into glory. I don't try to do it my own way. I fall on my face before you and say, Father, I receive the cross. And I receive what you have done for me on that cross. And I thank you. I thank you. And when we do that, notice what he says. That according as is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You see, it's not me. Not how good I explain it. Not glorying in your preacher, not glorying in your church, glorying in the Lord. Let it ring in our ears, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We need to look again and again and again at the cross and see their love. Justice and mercy met at the cross. Your salvation comes through the cross. It's all through the cross. And that's what Paul is saying, is a lot of the world will look at that and say, no, no, no. And you know, I've said this before, there are denominations that have taken the blood, all the songs about the blood, out of their hymn books because they don't want to emphasize the cross. When you take away the cross, you've taken away Christianity. You may still have a social religion, and you call it anything you want to, but it's not Christianity, because Christianity revolves around the cross. And Paul says it's foolish to some, it's a stumbling block to others, but to those who understand, it's the power of God to salvation. Think about the cross. And let it become and be in you the power of God to your salvation. And I know, I think probably everybody here is a Christian. But go out and share the cross. You don't have to worry about sharing your wisdom. Years ago, Southern Baptist had a witnessing program called Faith. I don't know whether Barbara's Grove studied or not, but you know, F-A-I-T-H. And there's a scripture verse for F and a scripture verse for A and I and T and H. And the H was for heaven. And so you're supposed to memorize that and go out and share your faith. Well, I said, one old boy, you know, he had that all memorized, and he got out there and he was trying to share his faith, and he just got all bum-fuzzled and spelled out C-O-D, your cow. But the person got saved. It wasn't the presentation. It was the power of God through the cross. The power of God through the cross. And folks, that's what we got to share. And the next time you have fear and trembling, you say, well, if Paul could have fear and trembling, I can have fear and trembling and I can still do it. And you may get rejected, but at least not now. They're probably not going to put you in prison and beat you half to death before they put you there. Next time you're at McDonald's or at Breakfast Nook or wherever, think about sharing your faith. And you might be surprised, if you do it regularly, who the Lord will bring across your path. It may be something you heard in a Sunday school lesson. Maybe something you heard in a message. Maybe something you read in a Christian book. But there are hungry people all around, and you can be the one that feeds them. It's just beautiful the way the Lord can use the person that's with him. Person that's with him. You think, well, I don't have much to share. You know, if you're really hungry, half a banana sandwich with peanut butter on it makes you feel real good. That may be all that you've got, but if the person that comes and sits down at your table is really spiritually hungry, that what you heard in Sunday school, that what you heard in the message, that what you read in the book, that what you heard from some song or TV or radio preacher may be the very thing that nourishes some hungry soul. The power of the cross. And hey, you don't have to have a college education, seminary degree. All you got to do is point people to the cross.
makes the difference.
As we have the invitation time, would you think about somebody that you could share Jesus with this week? Or can you think about some places you could be where you could share Jesus? Could you think about something that's in your heart that you think would be a blessing to somebody else? And that which you think, well, everybody knows that, you might be surprised at who doesn't know what you know. Would you respond as the Lord would lead you?